Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Makos Daf Tezvav. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Yud Daled and Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Zechun Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Allah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, as well as by Eliza and Aaron Herzen family in memory of Eliza's father, Judge Noach, dear Zichron Levracha, Noach ben Meshulam Shraga, whose fifth yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shev Naliyah. We miss Judge Deer terribly, his family Shev Nechama, and the Neshama Shev Naliyah from the continued mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss is the following. First of all, we're going to talk about Malkus for a lav that is Kidmo Asay. What does it mean, a lav that's Kidmo Asay? So there are many halachas in the Torah where there's both a los asay and an asay associated with it. So we often think of a lav hanita klase, which we're going to talk about also, which is when you violate the lav, there's an opportunity to fix it by doing the mitzvah asay. A lav shekidmo asay is where it's possible to fulfill the asay without having ever violated the lav. So do you get malchus on a lav shekidmo asay? Lav hanita klase, you don't get malchus on. What about a lav shekidmo asay? The Gemara is then going to discuss whether the lav to divorce an ones victim, if a man is ma'anis and isha, where the halacha is that he has a mitzvah to marry her and he has an iser to divorce her, is that a lav hanitak la'asei? So the Gemara is going to show four different explanations of how that lav is in fact nitak la'asei and not Kidmo Asay. One would have imagined that that's a lav shekidmo asay because it's possible to marry her without having violated the issur of divorcing her. So I would have thought that it's a kidmo asay. The Gemara is going to try to show in four different ways how that's in fact a lav hanitak la'asay. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why is it that there's no malchus on a lav hanitak la'asay, and that's going to lead us into the discussion of two basic models: the model of kimu or lo kimu versus bitlu or lo bitlu. Meaning that when we say that one does not get malchus and a lav hanita klasei, how long does that last for? Does that last until Beis Din tells the person, listen, you got to be mekayim that asay to fix up what you did, and if you're not mekayim that asay, we're going to give you malchus? That's kimo. We tell him be mekayim it, and if he's not mekayim it, good, then we'll give him malchus. Or is it no? It's not that he has this one time warning that you better be mekayim it right now, or we're going to give you malchus. The only time he's ever going to get malchus for the lav if he's a bitlo. Bitlo means he's mevatel the possibility of ever being Mekayim the Asay. He does something to make it impossible to ever be Mekayim the Asay. So only then do we know that the lav is really final, and if the lav is really final, it's never going to be rectified, it's never going to be fixed, only then we're going to give him malchus. So that's the models of kimo velo kimo versus bitlo velo bitlo. So let's begin again. We are holding at the end of the second to last line, on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. It says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Rabbi Chana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Rabbi Chana says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as follows, that even though we know you don't get Malkus for a lav hat, nitak la'asei, ko los asei shekidomo asei, lokan alav. If you have a los asei that the asei precedes the asei, then you do get Malkus, meaning it's shaykh to fulfill the asei even prior to violating the lav. And you have a lot of examples of a lav shekidomo la'asei. We're going to talk about Habal the Mikdash Tameh, that it's possible to fulfill the asay of going out of the Mikdash when you're Tameh without having violated the lav of going into the Mikdash while you're Tameh. Someone who takes a bus or Karban Pesach, Michutz Labayis, is an example. Mechabe Eish HaMa'aracha is an example to extinguish the fire of the Ma'aracha, being Magish Mincha Belo Melach, bringing Karban Mincha without salt. The Aruch Lenar gives all these examples, and the reason he feels a need to give examples is because the way Rabbi Yochanan formulated the rule is he didn't say, I can think of one or two examples of a lav shekidam asay. He said, kol los asay shekidam asay. The word kol always means that there's more than two. Kol has to be a minimum of three. So the Aruch Lenar says, yeah, where do we find so many examples of a lav shekidam asay? So he gives four different examples that you find of a lav shekidam asay, and therefore justifies the word kol. Now, when we say lav shekidam asay, Tosfos points out, it doesn't matter where it appears in the Torah, meaning whether the asay appears before the lav in the order of the Torah, it appears after lav in the order of the Torah. And the Ritva writes, same thing as well. Meaning the whole point is that it's possible to do the essay without ever having violated the law. It's about practically how it plays out. It's not about where it appears in the Torah. The Aruch HaNer points out, though, that the Ritva had a different girsa in Rashi, but our girsa in Rashi would suggest that according to Rashi, you need two qualifications in order to be a lav shekedamu asay. That number one, it has to be possible to violate the asay, to do the asay without violating the lav, like the Ritva says and like we've been saying. And number two, that it also has to precede it in the Torah. That according to our girsa and Rashi, both of those things need to be true in order for it to qualify as a lav shekedamu asay. Whereas the Ritva himself disagrees with Rashi and Tosfos and holds that when the asay is earlier in the Torah, it's not considered a lav anitik lasay, even if you're able to be mekayim it only after the lav. So there are three possibilities over here of how to define lav shekedamu asay. Possibility number one is the way Tosfos quotes and the way the Ritva writes in the name of Rashi, which is that if it's possible to do the asay before the lav. Possibility number two is what appears from our girsa in Rashi, is that you have two qualifications. It needs to be possible to do the essay before the lav, and the essay has to appear before the lav in the Torah. And then possibility number three is what the Ritva himself holds, is that lav shekedam al essay is simply that the essay appears before the lav in the Torah. Nothing to do with whether you can or cannot do it earlier. We're going to stick with a simple understanding, which is Tosfos, that lav shekedam al essay is about that it's possible, that it's practical to fulfill the essay without ever having violated the lav. But be that as it may, the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is that even though a lav hanitik la essay is ein lokin alav, you don't get malchus for a lav that could be rectified by an asay, a lav shekedamu asay, lokin a lav. You do get malchus for a lav shekedamu asay. That's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. So Amru lo, when people heard Rabbi Yochanan said this chiddush, they said to him, Amarta, did you say such a chiddush? So Amru lo, Rabbi Yochanan said, lo, never said such a chiddush. Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, well, what are you talking about? Helukim. I swear that, you know, the Amara, Rabbi Yochanan said it, uksiva, utanina, that klal, that lav shekedamu asay, that he said, that you get malchus on, it's clear in the Chumash, and it's clear from the Mishnah that we learned, because in the Chumash we find an example of the lav shekedamu asay, and the Mishnah that we learned tells us that yes, you get malchus on it. So why are you, Rabbi Yochanan, denying having said this? Not only did I hear with my own ears that you actually said it, I could prove that it's actually true. So why would you want to back out of something that's actually true? How could he prove that it's true? Because there's a pasuk in the Torah, and it went in conjunction with our Mishnah, you'll see that it's true. Ksiva, the pasuk in the Torah says, "Vayishalchu min ha-machne," that there's a mitzvah sasei to send someone who's tameh outside of the Mikdash, right? Even though and then it says, "V'lo yitamu asmachneim," that there's a lo sasei not to enter the Mikdash while you're tameh. So that's a lav shekedamo asay, because it's possible to do the asay without the lav. The Ritva says, what do you mean kedama asay? They just said it's earlier in the psukim. That doesn't seem to be the definition. The definition seems to be that it's possible to do the asay without the lav. He says, how's that true? How is it possible to do the asay without the lav? The asay is for a tamei person to leave the mikdash. How is it possible to have done that unless you were a tamei person who first came into the Beis HaMikdash? So the Ritva suggests, sure, it's possible if you came into the Beis HaMikdash when you were not tamei and then became tamei when you were in the Beis HaMikdash. So you did not violate going into the Beis HaMikdash while you were tamei. You were tar when you walked into the Beis HaMikdash. But now you have a mitzvah asay to leave the mikdash because now you are tameh. So that's a lav shekedamo asay, according to the definition of any asay that's possible to do without having first violated the lav. Good, so do you get malchus on it? Well, tanina, that's our Mishnah, the Mishnah Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Eluein Alokin. So we said, on the list of things that you get malchus for, habalu mikdash tameh, someone who comes into the base of mikdash when they're tameh. So you see that a lav shekedamo asay is not the same as a lav hanitak asay. Lav hanitak asay, you do not get malchus for. Here you have an example of lav shekedam asay, and yes, you get malchus for it. Pnei Yeshua raises the question that couldn't we have been mechalik that a lav that's mesakein an averas halav, you don't get where you have an asay that's masakin, you don't get malchus for it. But over here, the fact that you were metami the mikdash, you're never able to be masakin it. Meaning, maybe enochinami, that if you have a lav shekadamu asay, you normally would not get malchus from it. But that's assuming that the asay fixes the lav. Over here, does it really fix the lav? Meaning, what's the problem of going into the base of mikdash when you're tamei? You're not allowed to be metami the mikdash. You did it already. You were metami the mikdash. Now the mitzvah to get out of there is to not further be metami the mikdash. You've already desecrated it. You're not fixing the desecration that was already done. You're just preventing further desecration of the mikdash. So maybe, asks the Pnei Yeshua, maybe that's why one would get malchus over here, because the asay does not actually fix the lav. But maybe in a chinami, if you had an asay that actually did fix the lav, even if it was kedama la'asay, even if kedama lav, even if shekedama asay, even if the asay could have been fulfilled without the lav, maybe in a chinami you wouldn't get malchus. So that's a strong kasha. That's the kasha of the Pnei Yeshua. But be that as it may, what happened over here is Rabbi Yochanan said that even though lav anitikla asay ain't lokin alav, kedama asay is yes lokin alav. Then they said to him, "You said that?" He said, "No, I never said that." Then they said, "Why not? First of all, you did say it, and we could prove it. It's there in the Mishnah that you get malchus on such a lav." So says Gemara, "Elamai time akadarbe." So obviously he said it. Why did he change his mind? Mishum dekashale ones, because he faced a problem with the halacha of ones. That the halacha is that when a man, Rachman al Tzlan, is ma'anis a woman, so the halacha is lo si ali isha. He's supposed to marry her, and liuchal shalcha kol yamav. He's not allowed to divorce her for as long as they live. So Titania, the Brisa tells us, ones shegirish. Let's say a man marries his anusa because he fulfills the mitzvah velosi aliisha. So that's an assay that you could do without violating the lav of lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. But then after he marries her, he divorces her and he violates lo yuchal shalcha. So im Yisrael hu, if he's a Yisrael who's allowed to marry a grusha machzir, let him remarry her and vein aloka, and then he's not going to get malchus. Im kohen hu, and if he's a kohen, well, he cannot remarry her, so loka, so ve'eno machzir, he's going to get malchus, and he cannot fix it, he cannot be machzir her, because a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, and the klal, so, but bottom line is, the klal of Rabbi Yochanan is contradicted by the resha of this brisa. Why? Because the resha says, im Yisrael hu, machzir ve'eno loka, that he's not going to get malchus for having divorced her. Amai, lo sase shekedamo asehu v'lilki, isn't this an example of the lo sase shekedamo asay, that yes, there's an asay that fixes this lav, but that asay is kedamo lav, because you could do that asay without ever having violated the lav, right? Of lo si elisha, without ever having violated liuchal shalcha kol yamav. So therefore, you should get malchus on it. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan is bothered. Rabbi Yochanan says, if the halacha is that we're going to say that if he's a Yisrael, he's eino loka, that must teach me that lav shekedamo asay is the same as a lav anitak asay where there's no malchus, and that's why he backs out on his chiddush that he originally wanted to say that a lav shekedamo asay that you do get malchus for a lav shekedamo asay. Now we said this by an onus, same is true by a motzi shemra. Same two mitzvahs. A mitzvah, if a man is mosi shemer against his wife, he falsely accused her of having cheated on him. Halacha is that he has to marry her, and that lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. So the Rambam paskins the same, you know, in Hilchos Nar Basul, Pergim Halacha Dalin, the same set of halachos. So the Aruch Nar discusses why is it that the Gemara now and really for the rest of the Amud is going to be focused only on the case of Ones and not on the case of mosi shemra. It seems to be something that relates to both of them. The Tosos points out over here, we mentioned that if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to remarry her, because the Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. So Tosos says, well, wait a second, don't we have a Klal in Halacha that Asay Dochalos Asay? So if he has a Mitzvah Sasei of Losi Eli Isha, granted he has a Los Asay, a Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha, why don't we say that the Asay should be Dochal the Los Asay? So he says, no, because the Halacha is, if it's a Lav Shein Shav B'Kol, we don't say Asay Dochalos Asay. So this is a lav shein shav b'kol. What does it mean lav shein shav b'kol? It means it's not always going to apply. Meaning the The mitzvah saseh is not always going to apply over here, because yes, there's a halacha that if a man is ma'anis a woman lo siya li isha, he has a mitzvah to marry her. What if the woman says, I don't want to marry this guy, he was ma'anis me, they have no interest in marrying this guy. Well, then he has no mitzvah to marry her. If she says she's not interested, so there's no mitzvah to marry her. So since the asay is not always operative, we don't say that such an asay is docha los asay. Only an asay that's always operative is going to be docha a los asay. Now the Rishonim raised a different question, that Rabbi Yochanan, we said, changed his mind. That originally he said alav shekadamu asay, that you do get malchus for, but then he realized he runs into a problem with ones, so he says, okay, no, it's like alav anitik asay, you don't get malchus for. But what's he going to do about Bala Mikdash Tameh? Meaning we had a raya to his original mahalich. His original mahalich was that you get malchus from it, and we brought a great raya that vayishalchu min amachne v'lo yitamus machanehem, right? A mitzvah saseh, a lo saseh, and it's listed in the Mishnah, something that you do get malchus for, a lav shekadamu asay. So he has a raya that he changed his mind, but there's a strong raya not to have changed his mind. What does he do with that raya? So the Ritva suggests, in the name of the Raz Halevi, that when someone's Bala Mikdash Tameh, since there's a Chi of Kares, so we assume that we could apply that which we learned back on Yud Gimel and Beis, Beferish Rup Satoru Chayav Krisus Lamalkus, that we learn Gzeir Shava Le'ene from Le'enecha, that Kares is always an exception, that whenever comes Chayav Krisus, there's a Gzeir Sakasv, that even if you otherwise would not have been Chayav Malkus, you're yes going to be Chayav Malkus. So since Bala Mikdash Tameh is a Chi of Kares, so even though Yenachinami, by normal rules of Lavanita Klase, Rabbi Yochanan is now going to tell me, you're not going to be Chayiv Malkus, but special Gzeres HaKosov, that you are Chayiv Malkus. The Maram suggests that Rabbi Yochanan really never fully changed his mind. The only part that he changed his mind from was that originally he said it as a rule. He said, Kol lo saseh shekdamu aseh lo kanalav. Now he's saying, no, not every example, sometimes an lo saseh shekdamu aseh lo kanalav. What would be an example of that? Yeah, tameh in the mikdash. That's an example where lo kanalav, but sometimes not. What would be an example of not? Ones, lo sielisha, that would be an example. Lo yuchal shalchal kol yamav, that would be an example of not. That's how the Maharam understands. Simply that Rabbi Yochanan, that there is no klal. Lav anita klasei, there's a klal. Lav shekadamu asei, that there is no klal. There is no absolute rule that governs this. More troubling that the Rishonim don't really directly deal with is how does Rabbi Yochanan deny having said something that he actually said? Right, meaning it seems like he did say it, and Rabbi said, I heard from your mouth, and I had proof that it was correct. What you originally said is correct. So how does he deny having said it? So there's an interesting in the Masifta, he quotes a tshuva from the Maharal Tzins in Evan Ezer Sim Tesvav Tezayin, where the case was as follows. There was a woman who was in Aguna. Her husband disappeared, and she went to go find her husband, and when she was going investigating where he was, she met a guy, and the guy says I know your husband, he died. So she immediately ran back home. She told her son, you better start saying Kaddish. A few weeks later, a guest comes to town and he sees this child saying Kaddish. And he says, I know that your father's alive. I don't know why you're saying Kaddish. So people were saying, nah, don't listen to this guest. He's a shikr. You can't rely on anything he says. And then after some time, the second guy that had said that the father is alive said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never said the father's alive. So the question is, do you believe the guy that says that, do you have to trust what he said at first when he came and he said the father's alive, and the woman's Viter and Aguna, or do you say no, even the guy who said the father's alive is now denying that he ever said the father is alive? So the Shoel wanted to say that he's not Neman to say that the father's alive, even though the Ran writes in a tshuva that a person could be Chozer from that which he was made Chutz Mibeis Din. The Shoel that's only when you say Sheker Amarti. But if you say Lo Amarti, meaning If a guy said something and then he says, I was lying before, so that you could be chozer. We believe you that you were lying before. Now we'll believe you that you were lying before. But if a guy never said, I was lying before, he said, I never said it. Well, we know that you said it, so we do not believe you that you never said it, and therefore what you said really matters. So when he came originally and he said, your father's alive, and now he's saying, I never said it, but yes, you did, and therefore we still have to trust that your father's alive. That's what the Shaul wanted to say. So the Maharal, the author of the Tshuva, said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, that doesn't make any sense. If a person were to come outside the basin and say about a guy that he's dead, and the woman is allowed to remarry, he said that he never said it before, that he never said the guy was dead. So you're going to allow the woman to get remarried based on what he said originally? When he said he never said it, he's being made on himself that he doesn't know that the husband is dead. Meaning, I don't care whether he's saying he lied or whether he's saying he never said it. Right now, if you ask him, honest to goodness, do you know the husband to be dead or not? He would tell you, I don't know. I don't know that the husband is dead. He's claiming he never said that the husband was dead, but what he's really telling you is I have no idea. So since he's never to be chozer from that which he said outside of Bezin, saying lucha chazar gedola mizu. So how can you say that what he said originally is what we have to rely on? He's telling you right now that he doesn't know that to be true. So too, if he says that he lo amar kein me'olam and he doesn't know anything about the misa of the Baal HaAguna, so it means that we could ignore what he said originally. So you cannot rely on what he said originally. And he brings a raya from our sugya. That they asked, Rabbi Bar Bechana asked if he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol os asei shekatam asei lokan alav, and he did say it, and Rabbi Yochanan still said, I didn't say it. So Rashi writes, because he was chozer bo, because he changed his mind. And the Amoraim were kedoshei elyon. Their midvar sheker tirchak was a big inyan by them. They didn't go around lying, but nevertheless, since they changed their minds, they said that since Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind, he said that he never said it. So you have to say that he said, the reason he said that was because he's just not being machshiv what he originally said. Why is he not being machshiv it? He knows he said it. He's just not being machshiv it. So he's saying he never said it. So when he says lo amarti, he means to say that my original amira was kilo, was as if it's never happened. It's as if it never existed. So too over here, this areach had come and said to the kid, I don't know why you're saying kaddish, your father's alive. And then later on he's saying, I never said it. What he's saying is that whatever I said before is kilo. It's as if I never said it. So that's one interesting topic that comes up over here. Another interesting topic that comes up over here is what's the example of a lav shekedamo asay that we said that you see you get malchus on a lav shekedamo asay? It was lo yitmu u'es machaneihem. The iser to be metame, the machna to be metame, the mikdash. Someone who's baal a mikdash tame, it's a nita class. Because you have a mitzvah sasei of a yishluchu min amachna kol tamei nefesh. So it's a lav shekedamo asei. Now Rashi says lav shekedamo asei means that you're able to do the asei even before violating the lav. So you're able to do the asei of a yishluchu min amachna before violating the lav of going into the mikdash when you're tamei. So pashtus is that how are you able to violate the asei before to fulfill the assay before violating the lav, simply by not going into the mikdash while you are tameh. The Ritva says, no, that's not a fulfillment of the assay. The fulfillment of the assay is to leave the mikdash. It's not to not go into the mikdash while you are tameh. So it seems that we have a machlokas, Rashi and the Ritva, about how to fulfill that mitzvah assay of a yishluchu, of going out of the mikdash when you're tameh. Rashi says, by simply not going into the mikdash when you're tameh, you're fulfilling the assay of leaving the mikdash, whereas the Ritva says, no, you need to be in the mikdash in order to fulfill the essay of leaving the mikdash. Why is this a critical machlokas? Halacha l'maisa, min chaschinuch has a famous chakira in mitzvah test. There's a mitzvah on Erev Pesach of tashpisu sarmi b'techem, that a person is supposed to destroy whatever chametz that he has. What if a person doesn't have any chametz? He's gluten-free all year. He never has any chametz. So does he have to go and buy himself some chametz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, in order to do the mitzvah of destroying chametz? So the Minchas Chinuch says, on the one hand, maybe yes, it's a mitzvah saseh, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to do it. On the other hand, maybe you fulfill the mitzvah saseh by having all chametz gone from your house. You don't have to actually go and face the situation by avoiding avoiding the situation, you have fulfilled the mitzvah saseh. So the Avnei Nezer says, that's the machlokas Rashi and Ritva, Makostaf Tezvav. How's that the machlokas Rashi and Ritva, Makostaf Tezvav? The machlokas over here, Vyishluchum in a machne, that send a tamei person outside of the mikdash. How do you do that? Does it have to be by actually being in the mikdash and then actively going out, or just by avoiding the whole situation? Just not going into the mikdash when you're tamei. So Rashi says, just not going into the mikdash when you're tamei. That's good enough. So Rashi's going to say that to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashmisu, you don't need to go out and buy chametz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashmisu. Whereas the Ritva is going to say, no, you actually have to go ahead and do it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashmisu. There are those that suggest that Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi the Zohar, that you have to actually do something active. And there are those that were makbid. The Chuvus Ma'arik, he quotes that the Riva was knowing to dafka leave around one prusa of chametz until the seventh hour of the day on Erev Pesach, so that he could fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu at the right time and exactly when it's supposed to be done. So there are those who are makbid to do that. Even when we do a mechiras chametz, when we talk to the Nachri, when we're selling the chametz, we say, we're selling you everything except for this bag of 10 little pieces that I found in my house last night, because this I still want to burn. This I still want to destroy. I'm not selling you that. This is still mine because I want to do the mitzvah of Tashbisu. That presumes that you have to actively do the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Okay, back to the Gemara over here. So bottom line is, we said that what caused Rabbi Yochanan to change his mind was the case of Ones. That Ones seems to be a lav shekedamo asay, and you don't get Malkus on it. So Ula explains, no, Ones is really a lav hanita klasei. The Gemara is going to have four possibilities of how to explain why it's really a lav hanita klasei. So Amar Ula. Ula says, when it comes to Ones, the asei is there to fix the lav. Because lo yamar, the pasuk does not have to say, lo siya li isha ba Ones, that if a man is manis a woman, that he has to marry her. Veligmar, motzi shemra. I would be able to derive it anyway from motzi shemra. Uma motzi shemra shaloa samaisa. If a motzi shemra who didn't even do as serious an avera because it didn't even involve a maisa, it was just with words alone, and still Amar Achman of Lo Siya Li'isha, still the Torah says that he has this requirement of Lo Siya Li'isha. So Ones, where he did a maisa, a terrible maisa, Lo Kolshkein, all the more so he should have this requirement of Lo Siya Li'isha. So Imeinu Inyan Lefanav, so since I don't need Lo Siya Li'isha by an Ones, because I could have derived it from a Kal V'chomer, so it's extra, and I don't need it to tell me that you have to marry her before you divorce her. So tonight when you're in the Achrav, must be that Lo Siya Li'isha is there to tell me after you've divorced her that you have vaiter a mitzvah to marry her. Shem gire shiachzir, that if you divorce her, you have to remarry her. So by Ones, the asay comes after the lav, not before the lav. So it's a regular lav and nita klase, and a lav and nita klase, ain't lokan a lav. So it says Marva Kati, Ones Mosi Shema Lo Gamar. No, you're assuming I would have derived Losi Eli Isha by Ones from Motzi Shemra because of a Kal V'chomer. I'll tell you, it's not a Kal V'chomer at all. Dikol Mifrach, Mel Motzi Shemra Shken Loko Mishalim. Kal V'chomer, you're assuming that Motzi Shemra is more Kal because it doesn't involve a Maisa, whereas Ones is more Chamor because it does involve a Maisa. I'll tell you, Ones is more Kal because and Motzi Shemra is more chamur, because Motzi Shemra is unique in that you get both Malkus and Mamon for Motzi Shemra, right? We had that all the way back on Daf Dalet, that normally Kedei Rishaso Mishum Rishachas Hatem Mechav Yatem Mechav Mishum Shem Rishachas, you don't get two punishments for the same Avera, but over here by Motzi Shemra, you get Malkus and Mamon, so maybe Motzi Shemra is more chamur, you cannot derive any Kal V'chomers. So Elis says, no, I'll still prove to you that Ones is a Lav Nita Klasei, second possible proof. Lo Yomar, Lo Siya Li'isha b'motzi shemra. The Torah doesn't need to say Lo Siya Li'isha by motzi shemra. V'ligmar me'ones, and I could learn it from a kal v'chomer from Ones. That uma Ones she'ein oloko mishalim. Ones, which is more kal because it's not, you don't get malchus and mamon. Amar Rachman of Lo Siya Li'isha. The Torah still says that you have this requirement of Lo Siya Li'isha. So motzi shemra, which is more chamur because you get malchus and mamon. Lo kol shkein, all the more so there's a requirement of Lo Siya Li'isha. Lamanemar, why does it say Lo Siya Li'isha? By Motzi Shemra. After all, I could have derived it from a Kal V'chomer from Ones. So I made a winyan the Motzi Shemra to a winyan the Ones. That if it's not going to be, it's not going to teach me something about Motzi Shemra, let it teach me something about Ones. And I don't need to tell me by Ones Lo Siya Li'isha, because I already have a pasuk by Ones of Lo Siya Li'isha. So Tanei winyan the Achrav must be that it's telling me after you divorce her, you have an additional mitzvah of losia li'isha. And therefore, it's a lavanita glase that after a man divorces his onus victim, he has a mitzvah to go and remarry her. And a lavanita glase, you don't get malkusan. So it says Gemara, umotz shemer meonus nami lo gamer. But that kal v'chomer doesn't make sense. Tikal mifrok malon shkenos ameisa. Because from one perspective, onus is more chomer than moti shemra. Like we pointed out before, that onus involves a very serious maisa, whereas moti shemra is only dibur. In fact, the Paras Yosef is perplexed why the Gemara didn't notice that. We had already said this, right? Meaning in the original formulation of the kal v'chomer went in the other direction because of this, because moti shemra doesn't involve a maisa. So how did we not realize that going into this suggested kal v'chomer? So Paras Yosef works on that question in the back of the Gemara. So now says Gemara, third possibility of how onus is really a lav anita glase. Ella, the reason that it's not a lav shekedomo ase and it's a lav anita glase is because lo yomer lo si elisha b'motzi shemra. Let the Torah not say lo si elisha b'motzi shemra sharei ishtohi, because it doesn't have to say lo si elisha. You're already married. That's the definition of motzi shemra, that a man marries a woman, they are married, and then he starts speaking bad about her and saying that she did these stuff. So lama namar, why does it say lo si elisha? It may not mean the motzi shemra today when you're the onus, because maybe it's not really about motzi shemra, it's about onus. In the front of Papayonis, it already says Losi Elisha that he's supposed to marry the girl. Oh, so Tanei Winyan Achrav. So maybe this additional Losi Elisha that appears in the parsha of Motzi Shemra is telling you that if you're Ma'anis a girl and you marry her and then you divorce her, that you invite her of a mitzvah of Losi Elisha. And that's a love anita klase. So says Gemara Vehema, Emenu in the front of the Motzi Shemra, Tanei Winyan Achrav, the day, the low lucky. But how do you know to apply it from Motzi Shemra to Ones? Maybe the extra phrase Losi Elisha by Motzi Shemra is there to tell you that in the case of Motzi Shemra, if you divorce her after being Motzi Shemra on her, then you have to remarry her. So says Mara Enochinami. Vasionis Vigar Minei. Yeah, you're right. It's about Motzi Shemra, but we could derive the din of Onus from there. That if by Motzi Shemra, after you divorce her, you have a mitzvah to remarry her, by Onus also, after you divorce her, you have a mitzvah to remarry her. So it's a lav anita klase. So b'may gamar minei, but how could you learn the din of Onus from the din of Motzi Shemra? Whichever way you want to learn it, it's not going to work. Because either way, Motzi Shemra is more chamor, because is more kal rather, because you don't do a maisa by Motzi Shemra. So onus, which is more chamor, cannot be derived from Motzi Shemra. So we're still stuck. Where do we ever see that onus is not a lav shekedamo ase, but is a lav hanita klase, and therefore you're not going to get malchus on it? So Ela Amarava, the fourth and final possibility. Kol yamav ba'amod v'achzer. The pasuk says lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. Those words are extra. Those words kol yamav are extra. So it must be, it's telling me, the pasuk is telling me that you're not allowed to divorce her. And if you do divorce her, then she cannot remain divorced kol yamav. Rather, you have a mitzvah to go and remarry her. So that's after divorcing her. After divorcing her, kol yamav, you have a mitzvah of amod v'achzer, of remarrying her. And therefore, it's a lav anita klase. V'chein kiasa rav nam rabbi yochanan, kol yamav, ba'amod v'achzer. So that's why the halacha is, by ones, you're not going to get malchus, not because a lav shekedamo asay does not get malchus, but rather, but because it's a lav hanita klase. But maybe Rabbi Yochanan's original thought was correct, that a lav shekedamo asay, maybe you taka do get malchus. Onus is different because it's a lav hanita klase. Now, let's go back to that which Rabbi Yochanan said, that a lav shekedamo asay, you get malchus on. So amaleh Rav Papa l'Rava, v'halo dami lavi l'lav d'chasima. Why would you get malchus on a lav shekedamo asay? The rule is, you only get malchus on a lav that's dumya d'lav d'chasima. Why is that true, that you only get malchus on a lav that's dumya d'lav d'chasima? Because the Torah says, lo saksam shar b'disho, and then b'samachle, it says, v'ayim bin, hakos harasha. So the two pesukim are right next to one another. So we darshan, and it's in Sefer Dvarim. And in Sefer Dvarim, we darshan smuchim. And the rest of Kala Torah Kula, Rav Shachter just pointed out yesterday, in the rest of Kala Torah Kula, we have such a thing called a hekesh. What's the difference between a hekesh versus smuchim? A hekesh is when it's in one pasuk. Smuchim is when it's in adjacent pesukim. So if it's in one pasuk, so that's what we call a hekesh. That we apply in Kala Torah. Torah Kula. Smuchim is in one pasuk after the other, that we only darshan in Mishnah Torah. But we have major halachos that we darshan from Smuchim. This entire parak is based on darshaning Smuchim in Mishnah Torah. That every lav needs to be a dumya lav de chasima in order to get malchus on it is based on a Smuchim. So again, so he says the lav of that's kedamo asay is not dumi de lav de chasima. So how could you get malchus on it? So amalei mishum de kasa berachmana asay yaseira migragara. Why would it make it worse just because there's a mitzvah asay associated with it? Meaning, if the lav on its own right would qualify as something you'd get malchus for, what? So because the Torah makes it even stronger with a mitzvah asay, now I'm not going to get malchus. So it says mara ihachi by that same logic lav shenitik lasay nami lema mishum de kasa berachmana asay yaseira migragara. By lav anita klasei, you could say the same logic that the lav on its own you should get malchus for. What? But because there's an asay associated with it, also it's going to be worse. Samalei ahulina tuke lav huda asa. Yeah, it's going to be a lesser lav when it's a lav anita klasei because the purpose of the asay is to rectify the lav, to undo the lav. So just like malchus addresses a lav, the asay addresses the lav. So you have another way to address this lav. So says mar hanich leman diyamar bitlo velo bitlo. This works very well if by a lav anita klasei you can get malchus only if you ruin any future possibility of ever being menatic the lav, of ever fixing this lav. So then you're going to say, okay, it hasn't been addressed by the asay and never will be, and therefore we're going to address it instead with malchus. But if you hold that that's not the way it works, you can get malchus on a lav anita klasei as long as Beis Din said to you, listen, we want you to do the essay right now. And if you don't do the essay right now, we're going to give you malchus. So then, how could Rava's answer work? As soon as Beis Din warns the guy to be mekayim the essay, if he's not mekayim it, he's going to get malchus. So you can't say that kol yamav ba'amod v'hachzer. So you can't darshan the pasuk the way Rava wanted to darshan it. So says Gemara, midi utayma el Rabbi Yochanan. Well, this whole discussion is only within Rabbi Yochanan. This whole idea of kol yamav ba'amod v'hachzer is only to explain the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, and we know Hamalei Rabbi Yochanan Latana Tani Bitlo Chayev Lo Bitlo Pater. Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's not that Beis Din sits the guy down and says, "We want you to be Mekayim the Asay, and if not, we're going to give you Malchus." No, it's only if he's Mevatel the possibility of ever being Mekayim the Asay in the future that we're going to give him Malchus for the Lav. Rabbi Yochanan happens to Bitlo Velo Bitlo. So the Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Where do we find that there's this discussion? Rabbi Yochanan holds Bitlo Velo Bitlo because one of the Amorayim was teaching brisas in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he taught the following: Kol mitzvos lo sasei sheish b'kum asei. Anytime you have a lav anitik lasei, kiyem asei sheba pater. If you're mekayim that asei, so then you're pater from malchus. Bita lasei sheba chayiv. If you ruin the chance of ever being mekayim the asei, then you're going to be chayiv malchus. So later, Rabbi Yochanan said to the person who was teaching, "Maika amarta, you're talking about two sides of the mouth at the same time. Did you mean kiyem pater that if you're mekayim the asei, you're pater? Well, then the flip side should be lo kiyem chayiv, that if you chose not to be mekayim the asei, you should be chayiv malchus. Or did you mean be Tel Chayiv? No, the only way you're going to be Chayiv Malchus is if you ruin the chance of ever in the future being Mekayim the Asay. Well, then Lo Bitel Potter. So long as you haven't ruined that possibility forever, the Halacha should be Potter. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, what you should be teaching is Bitlo Velo Bitlo. Whether you get Malchus is dependent on, did you permanently ruin the chance of ever being Mekayim that Asay? How do you ruin the chance? So let's say you have a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, that you're not allowed to take the Eim ala banim. So rather, what do? You got to send away the mother. What if you kill the mother? Now you can't send away the mother anymore. So that's bitlo. You were mevatel the chance of ever being able to be mekayim that asay. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar kimo v'lo kimo. And Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, no, it's about kimo v'lo kimo. It's about that we give the person an opportunity to fulfill the asay, and if he passes up on that opportunity, then we're going to give him malchus. So the chi of malchus is all dependent on whether he's Mekayim Mekayim. So according to him, that we're not going to darshan kol yomav to be menatik the lav of lo yuchal shalcha. It has to be. So the reason that it says in the Brisa that an onus is that's megarish is machzir ve'in aloka is because it's a lav shekedamo asay, and a lav shekedamo asay is like any other lav anitik lasay that you don't get malchus on. Against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says a lav shekedamo asay you do get malchus on. So b'maika miflugi, what are they arguing about? Basra safek, meaning what are Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish arguing about when they argue about pitlo v'lpitlu kimo v'lokimo? Basra safek miflugi. They're arguing about the din of hasra safek, that when you give someone hasra, you need to know that if he violates your hasra, he's for sure going to be chayiv. Mar savar hasra safek shma hasra. Rabbi Yochanan holds that hasra safek is a valid hasra, so he's able to hold that a lav nitik lasei is not complete until the person is mevatel the possibility of ever being mekayim the asei, and nevertheless the hasra that you give him at the time that he violates the lav works for when he's going to when he's mevatel the chance of the assay, he's then going to get malchus. Umar sav hasra safik lo shma hasra, and Reish Lakish will say it doesn't work. Hasra safik is not going to work. And if he holds that the gemara lav is talui in being mevatel the chance of ever being able to fulfill the assay, you're never going to get malchus and the lav and nitik lasei, because hasra at the time of the averus alav is always hasra safik, because maybe the guy won't be mevatel the assay. So therefore, he holds the lav must be finished right away, and Asra that you give him at the time that he violates the lav is Asra's vadeh. It's just that he holds that lav at nitik lasei, there's the possibility of getting out of malchus by being mekayim the asei when Beis Din offers that opportunity. Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with va'azdu l'tamayu about the Asra Safik issue.